Good morning. Welcome to worship today on this fifth Sunday of our continued celebration of the resurrection in this Easter season. We're glad that you're with us today. More going on in our announcements page this week than there had been, so spend a little bit of time with that. Did want to draw attention and hope you'll put on your calendars the 3rd of June. That's a Sunday. We're going to have a scholarship fundraiser out here across the street behind the office complex at the ball field. Ice cream, hot dogs, and we hope we can get together if we can get enough people to bring their bats and their gloves, and we'll just have a fun game of softball with whoever is there and wants to play. It'd be fun to have some folks who have been involved in the softball leagues out here in past years, and whoever we can muster. It's just going to be fun. There will be a sign-up sheet if you'd be willing to bring a freezer of ice cream. We're going to have a sign-up sheet, so look for that in the coming weeks. And then, of course, we welcome any donations to the scholarship fund. Also wanted to mention that there tomorrow was the designated date. We've got this trailer out here that the scouts had mostly been the ones using, and don't have need for it. So we're looking to sell it. And I think right now Neil said that somebody had offered $450 for it. So if you're interested in that, see Neil, because tomorrow's the cutoff day, and that's where we stand right now. Are there other announcements that we should share for the good of the community today? Let's do some prayer shawls. Thank you.
So these two prayer shawls, excuse me, are for Harold and Judy Rose. I understand they both found out they were diagnosed with cancer on the same day. So they need our prayers, so you'll bless these, please.
We wish happy birthday this week to Debbie and to Anna, and happy anniversary to James and Marie, and to Donnie and Debbie. Are there other folks we should add to that list? Let's pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
We stand as we continue our worship on page 94 in the front of your book. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
This holy house, and for all who offer here their worship worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Let us pray. O God, you give us your Son as the vine, apart from whom we cannot live. Nourish our life in his resurrection, that we may bear the fruit of love and know the fullness of your joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated if the children will join me this way for the children's message. All right. Coming right through you here, guys. Okay, do you guys know anything about vines? Nothing? What do you know about vines? Grape vines? Okay. Grapes are a fruit that some of us love. I love. And they grow on a vine. What do you know about a vine?
They can be thorny.
They can be thorny. Some vines have thorns. Yeah. Rosal, what do you know?
They're sometimes green, and sometimes black, and
sometimes brown. They're all different colors. Yeah. Okay, so like a vine is a plant, right? And if you have like a tree or a shrub or a flower, a lot of times the stem grows like kind of straight up, right? And then you have branches that come off it. A vine curves all around and it climbs around, and it's a lot of times curvy. So here's a picture of a vine that I've got here. This is a grapevine, just like you were talking about, Cody. Grapes grow on a vine, so you might have seen that before. And then you see all of these little branches coming off the vine. Do you see those?
Like on trees?
Sort of like on trees, yeah. Vines can have branches like trees. And fruits grow on them, yeah. So, do you see how the branches are all connected back to the main part of the vine? You see that? Okay. Well, Jesus says to us, Jesus says a funny thing. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. What do you think that means?
We are connected to God because, like, how the branches are connected to, like the center of the vine. He's like the vine, and we're attached.
We have grasped metaphor. Well done. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, just like Jesus, the branches are connected to a vine, we are connected to Jesus. That's exactly right. I want to show you guys this, okay? So here's what we're going to do. Stay where you are for the moment. Just throw my stuff I'm done with at Judy. Okay, so if this is Jesus.
God.
Yeah, God, Jesus. We're gonna say Jesus. Who is God, by the way, so you're right on track. Then Jesus is the vine, and we need to be connected somehow, right? Yeah, okay. Would you hold this for me? It's a little heavy for a child. Yeah. So we need to get connected to this vine of Jesus. So I'm going to connect us here. We're going to wrap this around. Maybe this is going to work. Okay. So I need you guys all to hold on to this string. This is going to be the vine that's connecting us to Jesus. All right. Yeah, you guys hold it right there. All right, and we're going to come all the way back around. Maybe not. Okay, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. Holding the string, I want you guys to stand up. Okay? Now, we're going to make sort of a circle. So, Isabel, if you'll come this way and follow her down. So, we've got a circle, and everybody is holding on to this vine that's connecting us to Jesus, okay? Now, while we're holding this, can you guys say a prayer with me? Okay, let's pray. Close your eyes, please. Repeat after me. Lord God,
we are connected
through you
and to each other.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, very good. Now, hold on to this. We're going to see if this works. So what we're going to do, I'm going to come in the middle of the vine here. What we're going to do is we're going to cut this string. Okay, everybody got their piece?
Yeah.
This is what's the vine connecting us. And I'm going to cut a piece for everybody. And what we're going to do is tie this on your wrist so that you have a reminder this week of how you are connected to Jesus and you're connected to your other brothers and sisters through Jesus. Okay, this is a reminder of how we're connected. Marcus, I don't think you need that much, buddy. You don't have a big wrist. Okay, perfect. Let's just lay that down. Would you help me tie some? I didn't think all of this through. Okay, which wrist do you want? Okay. You can wear this week and remind you that you are connected to Jesus and that you're connected to each other. All right. Who else? And maybe your parents can help you trim off the ends later. Okay, I'll tie it for you. Okay, so when you see this string, you can be reminded that you are connected to Jesus, the vine, and that we're connected to each other. Pretty cool, huh? It is time for children's church. So for those of you who are going to children's church, you can line up at this door. And for anybody who's staying, you can go back with your parents. Thank you.
First reading is from Acts. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go south toward the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot, reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized? He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of the Lord. Today's psalm is Psalm 22 and will be read responsibly. From you comes my praise and the greatest congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. To him, indeed, shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him. And proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it. The second reading is from 1 John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we may live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God has loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment. Because he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out of fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of God.
Holy Gospel according to John, the 15th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Christ. You may be seated. Have you noticed how divided the world seems lately? Sure, politics have always drawn some lines, but it seems like lately those lines have become more defined, like there's less room for middle ground, and it seems like the institutions that used to be above, apart from partisan political agendas, well, they seem to be less and less able, or at least less and less willing, to resist the pull of the left and the right. Even the things we used to be on the same page about can divide us now. I mean, there was a day where I could vote for one candidate and you could vote for another one, but we would still go home at night and watch the same newscast of what was going on in the world, right? But at this point, even the news has become a divisive topic. Because if my news is fake, or if yours is, well, how we are supposed to even talk to each other, how are we supposed to work on issues if we can't even agree on what the facts are? And this is just domestic politics, right? Pull back to a broader world context, and after some years of what seemed like good cooperation, here we are back in this us versus them mentality of the Cold War, East versus West. And this us versus them mentality, it's so present everywhere. The haves versus the have-nots, Main Street versus Wall Street, the 99% and the 1%. And if we throw in things like gender and skin color and sexuality, well, it starts to feel like it's unavoidable that people be divided, that we would be kept apart. And then what happens is we get afraid, right? Afraid that those people who are different from us are going to destroy the very things we have hoped for. And in our fear, we can do some pretty nasty things to each other. But as bleak as all of that picture sounds, all three of our lessons today point to something more powerful than all of the forces of division in the world. Something fundamental that connects us. In the midst of brokenness, in the midst of division, we, the church, are here to proclaim that there is something stronger that binds us together. And that thing is the love of God in Christ Jesus. It's the love that casts out fear. The Gospel of John reminds us of this intimate connection we have with God, as intimate as the connection between the vine and its very branches. The vine is the source of all sustenance and life, right? The branch can't survive without it. And in the same way, God, through Jesus Christ, is our sustenance and life, without which we can't survive. But if Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, you are a branch and I am a branch, well, then I can't very well go separating myself from you, can I? Even if I don't like the way that you talk or dress or walk or act. Because the only way I could separate myself from you would be to separate myself from the vine too, the one source of my life. No, the fact is there is something more powerful than anything that divides us, and that is our connection in Jesus Christ, the connection that makes us sisters and brothers. And we get a glimpse about how God's uniting spirit might play out in our first reading from the book of Acts today. Philip is just minding his own business in Jerusalem, and the Spirit tells him to get up and go down the unpleasant wilderness road to Gaza. And what the Spirit is up to in this wildly unlikely encounter, it ends in baptism. Now, there ought to have been every reason, every division in the world keeping this baptism from happening. The man that Philip meets is an Ethiopian. Clearly not a Jew, right? He's a foreigner, one that wouldn't have been allowed to visit the inner part of the temple because foreigners weren't allowed there. And it would have been apparent to everybody that he wasn't from around here, because Ethiopian in Luke's day was shorthand for somebody with dark skin. So everybody would have known. Philip immediately would have sensed this division, that this guy was not a Jew. Add to that the division that would have existed because of this man's physical status. He was a eunuch, which is not a word we hear a lot, but means he had been castrated, right? Deuteronomy classified him as somebody unable to enter into the assembly of the Lord. And then there is the barrier of wealth and status, because Philip is just some guy on the road, a dusty, wild wilderness road, and the man he meets, the Ethiopian, is the head of a royal treasury. You wouldn't think that he'd have the time of day for Philip. I mean, just think about the logistics here. The Ethiopian is riding along in his chariot. Philip, just to start the conversation, has to jog along beside the chariot just to be able to strike it up, right? It's an unlikely situation. And what's more, Philip, he's not even an apostle, right? He didn't know Jesus. He's just one of the guys the apostles picked out to help hand out bread to the widows earlier in the book of Acts. So for all of these reasons, there should have been this huge divide, disconnect between Philip and the Ethiopian. There ought to have been too many things dividing them for this to ever have happened. But it does happen. The Ethiopian asks, "What's to prevent me from being baptized?" And in spite of that whole list of things we've just named, to Philip, there doesn't seem to be a single thing preventing it. The Spirit is at work. God's presence connects the two men in a way that makes everything that would separate them fall away. And this unlikely encounter, this unlikely connection by the Spirit, makes me wonder, who have we excluded? Who have we pushed away because of divisions? And is the Spirit leading us perhaps to reconnect, to include them? What is to prevent us from reaching out in love? And all of this brings us finally to 1 John, where everything comes together. Beloved, John says, since God has loved us so much, since God in love came down to earth, since in love Jesus lived among us, spreading the good news of the kingdom, since he loved us so much that when it got bad, he didn't bail on us, but he stayed with us all the way to the cross and the grave, since in love he joins us to his resurrection, all of that, since God has loved us that much, we also ought to love one another, says John. And we're not talking about warm feelings here. John's not talking about a love that looks like a fondness for one another. The love we're talking about is an acting and a doing for others because of the fact that God has acted and done for us. Liberals or conservatives, dark skin or light, Eastern world or Western world, none of that defines who we are. Strip away the layers, strip away the distractions, strip away the tribes we've taken up with, and at our core, who you are is a beloved child of God. And they, whoever they are God's children too. Branches on the one life-giving vine of Christ's love. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars, 1 John says. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Which certainly doesn't mean that we have to agree with each other about everything. But it does mean that we have to love each other. The love that acts, the love that does, the love that risks for the other. The love that comes through when we listen rather than discount the other's experience. The love that comes through when we give up power and resources so that somebody else has what they need. The love that looks past divisions and sees shared humanity, shared connection in Christ, one vine with many branches. We love because He first loved us. And this is who we are. Amen.
Let us reaffirm our faith through the Nicene Creed found on page 104. We believe in one God.
Father,
Rejoicing in the life, death, and resurrection of Christ Jesus, we pray for the witness of the church, the wholeness of creation, and all who are in need. We pray, God, for ministries that nurture faith formation, for missionaries and Bible study leaders, for those who are seeking, questioning, or curious, for seminarians, campus ministers, and for the newly baptized. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for the beauty and health of the earth, for vineyards and orchards, groves and plains, for rainforests and deserts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for spears to be beat into pruning hooks, for harsh words to be reformed into loving speech, for justice and peace in every land. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for homeless youth and rejected children, for isolated grandparents and lonely nursing home residents. We pray for the shamed, the slighted, and the disregarded members of our communities. We pray, Lord, for all those who are sick and in need of your care, especially Burnett, Jane, Marshall, Bobby, Jana, Harold, the family of Tootie, Billy, Gracie, David, Scott, Jeff, the family of Bob, Chuck, Brianna, Brad, David, Judy, Angel and Alexandria, Daryl, Wayne, Eddie, Kathy, Philip, Barbara, and all those we name now. Lord, in your mercy, we pray, God, for all those struggling with broken relationships, for all who live with post-traumatic stress, for all those who live with postpartum depression, for those who struggle with eating disorders or anorexia, for all who suffer in silence, and for all who suffer alone, we pray. Lord, in your mercy, we give you thanks, Lord, for the many ways you enter into our lives and shower blessing, for the joy of young people. We pray, God, that you would keep all those safe who are at risk, that you would be near to those who wander. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We entrust all our prayers to you, gracious God. Receive them by the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace with one another. Next week's basket offering is for the Teen Parent Program. Next week, just so you can be prepared.
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as the bread for the hungry, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement found on page 5 of your bulletin. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.